I'm Mike McCurdy. Attorneys in the Kirk Zimmerman murder trial are back in court on Thursday. They continue skirmishing over what will be allowed in evidence at the trial. GLT's Charlie Schlenker talks with Pantograph reporter Edith Brady Lunny to update the case that began in 2014 with the killing of financial advisor Pam Zimmerman in her East Washington Street office. 3 years, and we're still waiting to find out when it will be ready for trial.
Last month at a hearing, Judge Scott Drzeski told both sides he would like to be ready to set a trial date at the next hearing, which will be later this week. The exact scheduling of a trial date has not really been any topic of conversation so far through all of these months and months turning into years of motions.
And we still have motions yet to deal with. What are some of them?
The state recently filed in a motion disclosing what they would like to introduce as what's called other crimes evidence, meaning things that are negative, could be considered another crime that the defendant has committed. And so now the defense, the other side, will come back and try to argue why those things should not be introduced as evidence. And they include things like the fact that police found a small amount of marijuana in Zimmerman's car when he was arrested. This is not anything that's been publicly disclosed before now. So they will try to introduce that. And there are several other things about his behavior while he was going through his divorce that could be considered a crime, such as standing outside his former wife's window. They will try to get all of those things introduced to try to heap on bad information and put him in an even worse light with the jury.
Would the marijuana really achieve that function, or is that just one small drop of paint on the matter?
Well, when you're trying to build what's largely a circumstantial case, every little stick counts that you can throw into the fire and try to build heat in front of a jury.
There was also some talk of Kirk Zimmerman making a trip to Indiana to purchase a firearm, allegedly. Where does that stand regarding admissibility?
According to the defense, they've done some investigating on it, and they say that there's really nothing to it, that the police came back empty-handed when they tried to build some information on that. The state says that they have evidence that he went to Indiana and that he purchased a gun from a certain individual, or at least inquired about buying a gun from a certain individual.
Which is it?
Well, the problem is they've never found a gun. And both sides say they have information to prove their claim on this. So the defense is saying that the state has no information to nail it down, to say that Kirk Zimmerman actually made a trip and bought a gun from an individual there who had a gun for sale that would match the type of weapon used. So it's really going to come down to whether the judge is going to let that information in or not as to whether the jury will hear it. And without anything definitive, both sides are going to be making suggestions, and the jury could be left with weighing the credibility of what each side is saying.
How often does something like that get in when it's important to establish opportunity because Zimmerman didn't otherwise have a record of owning a firearm, and yet it's not directly conclusive piece of testimony on either side?
And that's where a judge's rulings are the most important, because the judge will determine what information will be coming in front of the jury. It doesn't mean necessarily that it will be admitted at the trial, but it does mean that it crosses the first threshold to get into the trial. So that's where the judge will have to decide. And Judge Drzeski has tried to narrow down the information that this jury will have in front of them. And a lot of that dealt with the statements that police collected from more than a dozen people about the Zimmermans and what the Zimmermans said to and about each other. And the judge has narrowed that information down to pretty much only information that dealt with child support payments and was made in very close proximity to where she was killed. And that has really tied one hand behind the state's back when it comes to trying to build their circumstantial case that these two really did not like one another. And it took away a lot of the sticks out of their pile that they wanted to use to build this very hot circumstantial case. The state, of course, is coming back and asking the judge to reconsider that, some of those pretrial rulings. But without something extremely new to offer, judges generally don't change their mind about their rulings on pretrial motions.
Do we know yet whether there will be a motion to try to move the trial?
There has not been one filed yet, but that is something that could be coming if the judge sets a trial date or tries to set one, even if it's months out. That will give both sides something to work towards. You know, they'll have that trial date out there months ahead and then file motions and work backwards to try to meet that. And I think as you get closer to that date, you could see the defense try to get the trial moved to another location. But sometimes they will wait on the defense side for more publicity to be generated. And because that publicity is what they will try to use to say, my client can't get a fair trial here.
Pantograph reporter Edith Brady Lunny also tells GLT's Charlie Schlinker the trial may take 6 weeks when it does begin. Judges and attorneys prefer to avoid holiday periods, and there's more pretrial action yet to come. Brady Lunny says an early estimate for the trial start date could be January.